bless Brother Kilgore.
All right, God.
Hallelujah. Thank you very much. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
I appreciate the goodness of the Lord and His wonderful blessings. I always enjoy hearing Brother Nelson. When he first got up here and he said, "It is hot," my mind went way back many years ago. We were living in Paola, Oklahoma. And in those days, you couldn't find a penny anywhere. And I was just a boy, and I loved candy. And oh my, just craved it. Once in a while, I'd get a hold of a penny. But I found out one day that my dad had made arrangements with Mr. Talley down at the store for Mother and the family to be able to charge a few groceries while he went off to preach a meeting. They didn't know that I knew that. And so I got to slipping down there and charging a little candy. And the bill ran up to 55 cents worth of candy. So Harse and Odetta were staying there with us a few days, and he went down to pay the grocery bill, and he came home with that 55 cents worth of candy. So he called all, you know, he started polling all of us. And there's quite a group to start polling around our house. And he came to me, "No, I don't know a thing about it. Don't know a thing about it." He said, "Somebody charged 55 cents worth of candy." I made it fine until they started having family prayer before we went to bed that night. And they got to praying, and the longer they prayed, the hotter it got, Brother Nelson. So while they were praying, I slipped into my bed and pulled the covers up over my head. And I got to praying and repenting. A little while they got through, and I was still praying. I didn't know they were through. And they heard an awful noise going on in the bedroom. And Odetta came in and pulled the cover back, and I was just perspiring and sweating my clothes down and just crying and praying. And she said, "Well, honey, it's awful hot with the cover over your head." I said, "Hell's going to be a lot hotter than this, though." Conscience really worked on me that night. And she said, "What's wrong?" I said, "I charged 55 cents worth of candy." I was so glad to get that off of my conscience. So glad. Praise the Lord. We're having a good time, aren't we? Isn't the Lord good to us? Praise God. Hallelujah. We have a Jewish boy in our church, and the Jewish hand clap is to look toward heaven with your hands up above or at your face and just clap and worship and love the Lord. I kind of like that. Let's give the Lord a good Jewish hand clap tonight. What do you say? God bless you while you're standing. We'll turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter, the second chapter. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. My throat and lungs are a little tight. I certainly am sympathizing with Brother Fletcher. And this dust and heat and sweating and all of it together is kind of getting to us, but we're still having a good time, and we'll try to do our best. We'll do our very best to preach what the Lord seems to impress upon our hearts. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation. Everybody say chosen generation.
Chosen generation.
Let's say a royal priesthood.
A holy
nation.
A
peculiar people. That you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Your word is certainly anointed. Your word is anointed. Hallelujah. But oh, if you'll anoint these bodies, these lips of clay, these minds, our spirit, our heart, anoint us, Lord. Anoint every hearer here tonight. Give us a great service, a great meeting, a mighty move of your spirit. We want an outpouring tonight, Lord. Grant that we would have utterance to be able to speak the Word of God faithfully. We'll thank you and praise you for it. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus for your glory and your honor. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. I've enjoyed these services so very much. It's been so good to get to be with all of you. And to meet so many of the old-timers of Pentecost that we love and appreciate and have through the years. I will do my best to preach to you tonight on the reason why we are to show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And if you want a subject, I just use the word, the reason why. The reason why. I feel like Pentecostal Church has a reason for everything that we do.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody said, unless the Pentecostal Church has a reason for existing, it has no right to exist. And as little as you might think of it, that is so true. There are three general areas of responsibility that certainly would test that right of existence. Not only our right, but any other church. First of all, does the Pentecostal faith honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe it does?
Yes, sir.
In fact, everything we do it to honor the Lord. That's why we have our standard of holiness. It's not so that we'd be an odd people or a different-looking people, but it's to bring glory to the Lord, glory to His name. And I tell our ladies, don't go around with a long face and with a frown on your face. Don't go around with a sad look. This is an hour for you to smile with that smile of victory. And just think, God has chosen you and raised you up in this hour so that you could be an example to the whole world. Now, most of the world has to stay around men, folks, a while to really determine if they're a Christian. They listen to their conversation. They watch their mannerism. They see how they act. They weigh these things out carefully before they determine if they're a real Christian. But I contend our Pentecostal women, God has raised you up in this hour so that you could show forth the praises of God like nobody else in this world. And if it takes you 3 hours to fix your hair, to get it up where it looks presentable and nice, with every stroke of the brush and comb, say, thank you, Lord. You've chosen me. You've chosen me to have long hair. And you want me to be an example. So that's a beautiful thing. When I see our beautiful ladies on the streets, in the stores, in the office buildings, wherever you look, you find them there. You see a different spirit, a different look, a different action, and a different attitude. Thank God for it. And be so thankful that God has permitted you to be one of those chosen ones for this hour. Praise the Lord. And it is a privilege. God has allowed us to be a chosen generation of all the generations in the world. I believe that Pentecost in the 20th century comes more complete in fulfilling that bill than any other generation before us. A chosen generation. And we're a royal priesthood. That means we have the privilege of going into the very Holy of Holies, the very divine presence of God. We have that wonderful privilege. We are a holy nation. I believe Pentecost within itself is a holy nation of its own. Amen. God is our Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And we know what His name is, don't we? Amen. Saul looked up and said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. We're a people who know the Lord. Hallelujah. And we know that His name is Jesus. So we are a holy nation in the middle of the nations of the world. And then we are a peculiar people. Not oddballs, but peculiar. We're a little strange as far as the world is concerned. They look upon Pentecost with a strangeness. They can't quite figure it out. They admire it, yet they don't understand it. They wonder what it's all about. God has allowed us to fulfill the description of His people found in 2 Peter, the second chapter, more completely than anybody in this whole world. When you become a little discouraged or a little down and out, why don't you pick up your Bible again and turn to 1 Peter, the second chapter, verses 8 and 9. I am a chosen generation. I am a royal priesthood. I am part of a holy nation. And I certainly belong to a peculiar people. Praise God. So what? So what is the reason for all of this? The writer said that we should show forth the praises of Him. God wants there to be a reflection of His glory that is seen in the lives of His people. And if the Pentecostal faith has a reason for existing, it will adhere strictly to the Word of God in its doctrines. Our doctrines are found in the Word of God. We're founded upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself, the chief cornerstone, in whom the building, whole building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy habitation of the Lord by the Spirit. So we are a church that has built upon the right foundation. Our doctrines are right. This is a day when men would like to get away from doctrines. They say doctrine separates, doctrine divides. But I find in Acts 2 and 42 where they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We're here at camp meeting to emphasize that again. We're at camp meeting to tell the world again that we believe in the apostolic message. We believe in the apostles' doctrine. We're not going to compromise that truth. And we will do our best to continue steadfastly in that faith that was once for all delivered unto the saints of God. And then does the Pentecostal message benefit a lost and dying world? I think I have seen as many fine young people in this camp meeting as I've seen anywhere I've gone. young people who I feel are dedicated, who love God. I could not help, Brother Deal, around this altar last night. I bowed my head at this pulpit and wept when I saw young men, strong young men, kneeling at these altars and shaking and trembling and weeping and crying. I'll tell you, I had to stop and weep and thank God that we have young people who are taking their stand in this hour. And I say, yes, our message, our truth, our gospel does benefit a lost and dying world. Praise God. And now, let's not forget the main purpose. Let's not forget the reason for it all. Let's not forget the message of the hour is to show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness. We were one time a part of the darkness of this world, but thank God He called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. In times past, we were not a people. We were not identified as a people. We were Gentile dogs. We were on the outside. We had no place. We had no right. We had no hope. We had no privileges. But thank God now we are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be like. But we know when He appears, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I want to show forth His praises. We've got something to shout about. If any people in the world has a right to praise God and to offer up spiritual sacrifices, I feel like that we are that people right here tonight. Let's not live below our privileges. Let's rise up in this hour and realize who we are. Let's realize where we came from. Amen. Paul told us in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, that we're not to be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind shall inherit the kingdom of God. But he said, remember, such were some of you times past. And back there in the world, such were some of you. But now you are washed. Now you are sanctified. Now you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We've been washed. We've been sanctified. We've been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He has done something to us. He has changed our lives. He has turned us around. He's turned us wrong side out, as it were. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become as new. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus, created unto Him unto good works. Hallelujah. And we're here tonight to show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. I don't think we realize what praise can do. If there's anything that attracts the attention of God, it's the worship, the love, the godly living of the people of God. You live the life you should live. When you get in need and in trouble, the blessing of God will be there. I like to think about my dear old mother. Most of you know what a saint she was. Most of you know how close she lived to God. Most of you remember how she used to slip down between the benches and pray. I've seen her slip over behind the piano and pray many times while Dad was preaching and the anointing would come and the altar call was given and people would run to the altar and find the reality of God. You know how close she lived to God. Every day it was a sweet walk with God. Every day it was a quiet confidence in God. Every day when there was a need, she knew how to touch God. And she'd go to the Lord in prayer. In just a little while, she'd touch the Lord. And the condition may have been just the same. But she'd say, everything's going to be all right. I have talked to the Lord about it. That's a wonderful thing. When she took sick with cancer, I refused to believe it.
I'd say anybody in the world would have cancer but Mother. The kind of life she lived. I never could ever point my finger at one thing in her life and say that she was not an example. She was a beautiful example as a Christian. She was a beautiful example of holiness. The standard that she lived it right to the time that she died. She never deviated. She never compromised. She never gave in any way whatsoever, any shape, form, or fashion. She was true to God right to the very last. I could not believe that a saint of God like that could ever have cancer. We got news when I was pastoring in Paris, Texas. Mother had cancer. Dad wrote a letter, said, if you want to see Mom alive, you better come to California. My wife made reservation for me and almost forced me to go. She said, honey, you've got to go. This is desperate. And so I flew to California, set up with her the last 5 nights that she lived. And the first 2 nights I was there, we had to turn her on the bed every 5 minutes. She was in severe pain, tortured, tormented, suffering in her body. That cancer was eating away at her, and it worked on her nervous system. She couldn't sleep at night, and we turned her, and we waited on her. She couldn't talk to us. She tried to communicate, and words would not come out right. She tried to write it on a tablet, and she was too weak to even hold a pencil in her hand. And finally, we knew that the time was coming. But I'll never forget on Sunday morning before she died on Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock. We were in the little trailer house. My two sisters, Odetta and Omita and Horace and Dad and myself. And he said, let's pray for Mom one more time. We made a little circle around that little hospital bed in that trailer house. And we began to talk to the Lord. And we began to cry and pray. And just about 30 minutes of prayer, all of a sudden we heard a strange noise. We looked up and Mother was sitting up in the bed. Those little bony hands were clapping together. She was talking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. The power and presence of God was certainly upon her life. Oh, what a blessing it was. We sat on the floor weeping and rejoicing and shouting to think that God was visiting her with such a beautiful visitation of the Spirit. And then she started carrying on a conversation with her wonderful Lord as though He were standing right there. She talked to Him and He talked to her. We didn't know what He was saying, but we heard what she was saying to Him. Finally, after about an hour and a half, my dad said, Mother, tell us, what did you see? What's going on? And with a clear, strong voice, she said, oh, didn't you see that beautiful stream? And didn't you see the Lord Jesus standing on the other side? And didn't you hear Him ask me to come over and be with Him? She said, I crossed that beautiful stream. I am now in the presence of God. I have already made it in. I've made it in. I've made it in. I want to tell you folks, from Sunday morning until 4 o'clock Tuesday afternoon, she never had another pain in her body. Her voice was strong and clear. She told where she wanted her funeral, where she wanted to be buried. But she said, don't forget, I've already made it in. Anybody come in the trailer to see how she was doing, she'd say, did you hear the good report? Did you hear the good news? Did you hear what happened to me? I've made it in. I've made it in. I tell you, I believe that it's possible you can live such a life and walk so close to God. When you're in need, He may not heal you, but His blessing will be there. His strength will be there. His help will be there. I'm telling you, Pentecostal people tonight, keep on loving righteousness and hate iniquity. Continue to walk with God in the beauty of holiness. Continue to sing His praises and lift Him up and walk with Him. He's with us in this hour. I believe with all of my heart the power of God is in this tabernacle tonight. The glory of God is around here tonight. The beauty of the Lord is here tonight. The angels are singing somewhere around here tonight. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. I have no doubt about that. I feel confident about that. I have that blessed assurance in my heart. The Lord is with us tonight. And He that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The reason why. First of all, the reason why is because it will bring victory when nothing else will. You show me a church that's full of the praises of God, and I'll show you a less amount of people that's in sick beds. Now that may sound strange, but God's divinely devised plan of worship is that if we will worship and love and minister to Him, He will minister to us. Now I never saw C.P. Kilgore sick in bed a day in my life until he had his heart failure. He claimed the divine promises of God. He said, if I'll live for God and take care of the temple of God, he didn't go out like most of us doing stuff and eat and gorge himself with food. In fact, I never ever heard my dad ever say he felt stuffed or he felt too full. Amen. I find there's a whole lot in the Bible about gluttony. He said, if I'll take care of the temple of the Lord will take care of me. He'd feel sickness coming on, he'd refuse to have it. He'd say, Lord, I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to take the flu. I refuse to have it. I have been trying to take care of the temple of the Lord. Now I know you're going to take care of me. First thing you know, he got feeling better. I'm saying tonight, we can live in an attitude, an atmosphere of praise and worship. That's why every Pentecostal service ought to be filled with praises unto the Lord. You may not run the aisles every night. You may not jump up and down every night. But if we have that sweet, beautiful, glorious presence of God with praises, just holy, wonderful praises unto the Lord, I promise you that the healing virtue will flow. The blessing of God will flow. The protection of God will flow. The favor of God will flow. There will be many beautiful and wonderful things that will happen in a Pentecostal service when people learn the secret of worship. Victory comes when we begin to show forth the praises of God who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. I read in my Bible where their enemy came against Jehoshaphat and Judah one time, and they had thousands upon thousands of soldiers trained for battle and ready to go to destroy Judah. And Jehoshaphat didn't know what to do, but he went to the Lord in prayer. And he said, Lord, we have no might against this great company, and we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon You. And the Lord said to Jehoshaphat, you're not going to have to fight in this battle. You're not going to have to lift up sword or shield. I want you to appoint singers to go out and just sing the praises of the Lord. He appointed a choir. They went forth and began to sing praises to the Lord. What did they sing? They sang holiness unto the Lord. Holiness, our battle cry. Wave the banner high, we must. No more trailing in the dust. Holiness, our battle cry. It's holiness unto the Lord. And I would remind you, without holiness no man shall see the Lord. Without holiness no man shall see the Lord. Amen. Somebody said, oh, I believe in holiness on the inside. My friend, if you really believe it on the inside, it will work its way on the outside. Men will see it. There is a popular message going over the country today. Grace covers it all. Grace covers it all. Because He paid the price at Calvary, we don't have to pay the price for anything. Because He's already provided grace, we don't have to worry about how we look, how we dress, or how we act, or anything else. We're living in grace. If you've accepted grace, oh my friend, that's a damnable doctrine in these last days. What it does, it tries to give you license to sin, license to live loose, license to do what you want to do, to live worldly. I don't believe a word of it.
If you'll notice in the book of Romans, it was after Paul had preached and taught about justification by grace and all of those important doctrines that he finally come to the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, and he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. 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 But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. One translation says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. The world has a mold out there. It would like to pull you into it, get you on the assembly line. You come out on the other side looking just like the rest, acting just like the rest. I beseech you, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't be deceived in this last hour. Take your stand for truth. Take your stand for righteousness. Take your stand for holiness. He said, if you'll do it, you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The perfect will of God for this hour is that we would have holiness inwardly and holiness outwardly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I don't want to lower it. Oh, friend, I want to raise the banner high in this last hour. As they begin to sing, holiness unto the Lord, God sent ambushments against them, and 132,000 were slain. God brought a great victory on the battlefield that day. God brings victory today when we learn the secret. We're not pressed down. We're not under bondage. We're not beaten down. We're not a people of a back number. We're the people of God. We're sons of God. We've been born of the water and the Spirit. We've obeyed God's plan of salvation. We believe there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all, through all, in you all. And my friend, if we will hold to that and love that and be willing to lay our life down for it, something can happen to us. When I was a boy 9 years old, we were traveling right down Main Street of Little Rock, Arkansas, about 10 or 12 of us in the car, pulling a trailer along behind, and a tornado hit that city. And signs were being blown down everywhere. Buildings were being shaken. Cars were not out on the street. The streets was being flooded with water. Right down the middle of Main Street, Dad said, let's pray and love the Lord. Hallelujah. And we began to pray and love the Lord. You talk about a wonderful prayer meeting we had it. Right in the middle of that storm, my sister, older than me, 12 years old at the time, lifted her hands, had never received the Holy Ghost, started talking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. I'm saying that it brings victory. It brings victory. That's why Moses and the elders of Israel came to that old dry well and said, spring up, O well, spring up, spring up, spring up, spring up. Spring up, O well, spring up, 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 spring up. How long are you going to say it? I'm going to say it till it springs up. That's why when you're seeking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it comes a time after a while you need to dry the tears. You need to look up with faith and start saying, spring up, O well, spring up, spring up, O well, spring up, spring up, spring up. Spring up! Spring up! Hallelujah! And if you start praising and loving and believing and worshiping, glory to God, something will happen. Something will happen. Something will happen. Hallelujah! Young man, it can happen to you tonight. Glory to God. Believe it in the service. Everybody here that needs the Holy Ghost, if you'll believe it, by the time you get to this altar, you'll realize that God's divinely appointed avenue of worship will bring victory, will bring results, will bring blessing. Well, let's clap our hands. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! There's a few things that will keep you from showing forth the praises of God. Number one, the top of the list is pride. P-R-I-D-E. I is right in the big middle of it. That's saying I'm important. That's saying I have something. That's saying I'm somebody. We're nothing but a glorified mud ball. That's all we are. Hallelujah. We're nothing. He's everything. We're nothing. He's everything. We're nothing. But by Him all things consist. He's the head of the body, the church. That in all things He might have the preeminence. We recognize we're nothing and get that pride out of our lives. And there's another thing that keeps people from really showing forth the praises of God. It's tradition. Tradition will keep your hands tied. Tradition says be quiet. Experience says I can't be quiet. Tradition says don't make a lot of noise. But experience says I've got to make a little noise. Tradition says don't do anything. But oh, experience says I've got to do it. I've got to do it. Glory, 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 glory. Somebody said, but I've got a degree. I've gone to college. So what? Amen. But you don't understand the great family I came out of. So what? Amen. You don't understand my position. So what? Hallelujah. Glory. The most important thing is to know Him, to love Him, to serve Him, to honor Him, to give yourself to Him, body, soul, and spirit, and be sold out 100%. I feel kind of like that fellow did that, you know, every time he went to church, he shouted and jumped and ran. And he didn't have to find anything special to shout about. He was so full of the Holy Ghost that every time anything happened, he was ready to shout. And the pastor had some dignitaries coming. And so he said, I tell you, I've got to figure out something to do with this fella. He's going to disrupt everything. So he put him in the back room to watch something for him. And while in the middle of that service, all of a sudden, he heard benches being knocked over and somebody jumping up and down and somebody hollering, hallelujah, glory. And so as soon as the service was over, he rushed back there. He said, man, what in the world happened to you tonight? He said, well, Pastor, you sent me back here to watch some things. While I was watching it, I picked up this almanac, and it told me how deep the sea was, and I got to thinking how far my sins were, how God had buried them. And he said, I found out that I have something to shout about. Shout about it! Shout about it! Shout about it! Glory to God! Hallelujah! We had some of our young people in Kansas City got mugged on the street. That's not a pleasant thing. I got mugged in Indianapolis. Got knocked right down in the middle of the street. But anyhow, these boys were, some of them were beaten pretty severely and had to be sent to the hospital. But they said two or three of those boys were new converts and they didn't know any better than to start praying, and when they started praying, they started talking in tongues and shouting right on the street. He said, finally, those fellows got scared and ran off. And that reminded me of a good old-fashioned couple in Fort Worth, Texas, years ago. Left a service and started home, and walking down a lonely street, the fellow came out of the alley and stuck a gun in their back and said, stick them up. And when you tell Pentecostal people full of the Holy Ghost to stick them up, you know what's going to happen? When they got their hands in the air, they started praising God and shouting the victory. That old boy ran off. That old boy ran down the street. He was afraid. Don't try that unless you're really full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so glad we can show forth His praises. Tradition told the disciples of the Lord to be quiet. Don't make such a noise. And Jesus said, if these hold their peace, the rocks will cry out. Here was a whole city that was moved. A whole city that was worshiping. And He said, if these folks be quiet, the very rocks are going to cry. How'd you feel tonight? You pull up in your driveway at home, get out of the car, and the rocks in that concrete start saying, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You say, what's going on here? They say, well, you didn't do it in church, and the Lord wants somebody to praise Him. So I'm opening my mouth to praise. I don't want any rocks praising the Lord for me. And I don't want any trees clapping their hands for me. Isaiah 55:12 says, you shall go out in joy, and you shall be led out in peace. And the mountains and the hills shall break before you into singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. That's what the Bible said. If the trees can do it, I can do it. Glory to God. God has given us something to shout about. Let's show forth His praises. Let's show forth His praises. Let's show forth His praises. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Not only did an entire city worship Him, but the Bible tells us a church ministered to Him one time. Acts 13 says when that church began to minister to the Lord in fasting and prayer, then the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Saul and Barnabas. It was as the church began to minister to the Lord. You're not ministering to me. You're not ministering to one another. When you show forth His praises, you're ministering to the Lord. And it attracts the attention of God. I find one time in the Bible when God stopped all of heaven. Angels, be quiet. Be still. What's going on? Well, there's a little boy down there that's ministering to me. As the boy Samuel ministered unto the Lord God spoke right out of heaven to a little boy. Hallelujah. I'm glad He still ministers to us today. Aren't you thankful for the goodness of the Lord? Praise God, praise God, praise God. When we show forth the praises of the Lord, we are preparing the atmosphere for the Word of God. In 2 Kings, the 3rd chapter, when Jehoshaphat was going out to battle one time and the enemy had come against him, they went way out in the wilderness and they ran out of water. They ran out of supplies. And all of a sudden, they didn't know what they were going to do. They thought they were going to die. And finally, somebody said, is there a prophet of the Lord here that we can inquire of Him? And somebody said, yes, the fellow that poured water on the hands of Elijah's here. He said, fetch him to me. They brought Elisha to him. He looked the situation over. He didn't stop right then and prophesy. He said, bring me a minstrel. Amen. The minstrel began to play. They began to sing. They began to praise God. Then all of a sudden, it was time for the Word of the Lord. Now, if you wonder why the preacher stands at the pulpit a lot of times and he encourages worship and he wants you to sing a chorus a while and another chorus, what is happening? He has two or three sermons in his mind. He's trying to get one to gel. After a while, he hits a right note and he says, no more singing. It's time to stop the music. Thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. We can learn that. It prepares the atmosphere. It never takes the audience away from the Word of God. Some folks say we had a great service last week. No preaching. The preacher didn't have to preach. It should be say the preacher didn't get to preach. Amen. I don't believe in service after service without preaching. I believe it takes the preaching of the Word. God has chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And if we get to heaven, it's going to be because somebody preached to us. I just threw that in for good measure. Glory to God. prepares the atmosphere for that beautiful word of the Lord. We need the word of God in these last days. I don't want Pentecost to ever lose its song. Those daughters of Jerusalem hang their harps on the willows. I didn't get to finish last night. They said, by the rivers of Babylon, we sat down. Yea, moreover, we wept when we remembered Zion. They were remembering days of victory. They were remembering days of blessing, days of power. They were remembering those little narrow streets. But more than that, they were remembering Jehovah and the worship of the Lord in the temple of God. And they said, how can we sing the song of the Lord in a strange land? Don't let me forget you, O Jerusalem. If I do, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. Let my right hand forget her cunning. If I don't count Jerusalem above my chief joy. Thank God when we leave Jerusalem, we're in trouble, friend. It was in Jerusalem the church was established. It was in Jerusalem the doctrine was preached. It was in Jerusalem the Holy Ghost fell. It was in Jerusalem they spoke with tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. If you leave Jerusalem, you're going to go to Bethel or Dan, one or the other, and they'll teach you how to talk in tongues, and they'll tell you that holiness is not necessary. Praise God! I want to stay with Jerusalem. Hallelujah! I don't want to hang my heart on the willow, but I want to love and worship the Lord. Could you worship Him again? Praise our God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Bless His wonderful name. Bless His wonderful name. Back in those early days, there were no fine-dressed people, just plain folks everywhere. With the plain old-fashioned ruffles, frocks, and frills. There was no form or fashion. Just plain old spirit fill. Hallelujah. And when that old-fashioned preacher gave out that meter hymn, and each heart with the Holy Ghost was filled, you could hear the folks singing and shouting, praise God, I hear them still. In that little old wooden church way out on the hill. Amen. I want to keep Pentecost like it's supposed to be. Amen. I want to keep it just like it is and love it. There's not a thing about it I want to change. I like it like it is. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I don't ever want to get to the place we'd have a meeting like this. And God's people gather together. There wouldn't be that certain something that moves in our midst. Just a cut and dried operation. It's the Holy Ghost that makes us separate and different. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. There's that certain something that's got to move in our midst every time we gather together. Otherwise, it'll be just another meeting. But oh, thank God, when we meet together, there's something sweet begins to happen. The sweetness of the presence of God, the glory of His power. Something happens. Help me to love it and give my life for it. If necessary, but never change it, never desecrate it, never compromise it, but hold to it and love it. We had a young lady, she and her husband assisted us in Houston many years ago. They stayed in our home for several weeks until they could get a place to stay. She was quite a prayer warrior. She loved the Lord. She would pray and pray and pray. God began to give her a song. And when that song began to be born in her heart, she would pray by the hour. I could hear her in the middle of the night with a shrill voice praying until finally she went into the living room of our home and sat down at our piano and began to pick out the tune. And she got her song and then she went to church and sang it the first time it was ever sung was in our church. And the song went something like this, O Calvary, won't you please speak to me? Tell me how much I owe, I want to repay.
Then a message sounds clear from the hills of old Judea. Tell the lost. Tell the lost. Tell the lost. She sang it and she blessed people at national convention and all over the country. But one day, she began to let that song leak out of her vessel. She began to lose it. The day came, she got in her automobile, left her husband and her three children, and drove to a motel to meet another man. Fell into sin. Can't you remember, woman, in those midnight hours when Calvary was speaking to you? Can't you remember that voice from old Judea that was giving you a message? Can't you remember it? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. I don't want to forget those old narrow roads we used to travel up and down in Oklahoma. I don't want to forget the mud holes we had to push the car out of. I don't want to forget the tent meetings that many nights we'd have to get up 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning and go let the tent down, take the seats out, put it on top of the tent to keep it from being blown away. I don't want to forget those days when I was 8, 9, 10 years old, going early to the brush arbor and pumping up those old gasoline lanterns and hanging up on poles and getting ready for another apostolic meeting. I don't want to forget those wool wagons and automobiles as you'd hear them coming from every direction to those old-fashioned meetings. I don't want to forget the sound of men out in the darkness screaming and crying and trying to get to an altar and falling out under the power of God. I don't want to forget those days. I don't want to forget those old-fashioned baptismal services. I don't want to forget that baptismal service in Hennepin and that old gin pool when 121 Sunday afternoon were led out into that water and baptized in Jesus' name, and the power of God fell and people were slain and floated on the water, and they were just taken under in Jesus' name when they'd float by. I don't want to forget those experiences. I don't want to forget the fact that an angel of the Lord came into that brush arbor in Hennepin, Oklahoma, and stood behind that pulpit, and a carload of people saw it. I don't want to forget those experiences. I don't want to forget those nights I was awakened by the sound of prayer and groaning and moaning and talking to God. Don't let me forget you, Jerusalem. Don't let me forget you. Amen. Hallelujah. I still want to be a part of it. How about you? Would you stand with me and worship the Lord? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's continue to worship till the presence of the Lord begins to move. Come on there, folks that need the Holy Ghost. If you want the Holy Ghost, come on right now. Come on right now if you want the Holy Ghost. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. You want the Holy Ghost? Come with your hands up. Come with the praise in your heart. Come on. God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. That's it. Believe it's going to happen. Believe it's going to happen. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Glory, 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 glory. Claim the promise of God right now. That's it. Receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come on. Keep coming. Keep coming. Come on. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on. Come on. Come on. The Holy Ghost is here. You can be gloriously filled tonight. Bless His wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory, 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 glory. Everybody that will, gather in and let's have an old-fashioned prayer meeting. Everybody that will, come on. Praise the Lord.